Naomi's going to introduce herself and Doug in just a bit, just to let you know. They've been on the field since 1979 serving, and the Lord's work in their hearts is a blessing, and you'll be strengthened in your walk with the Lord by meeting them and hearing the good news that they'll have to share. And Doug was in our home back in the mid-90s, so we got to say hello to him a bit, and it's been delightful to meet Naomi this morning.
Good morning. Some of you were in Sunday school and others were not, but it's nice to be here. Once again, I want you to know it's a privilege for us to be here at the Norwin Alliance Church. Many of you have already come up to me and said, you know, I have your picture, that horrible picture, but I put it by my refrigerator or whatever, and I've been praying for you, and I want to thank you so much for your prayers for us, because it's your prayers that keep us going when times get tough and we feel discouraged. It's great to know that there are people who are upholding us in prayer. We have been missionaries since 1979. We've worked in the capital city of Bogota, in Medellin, and now we are in Cali, and each time we've worked in establishing a new church. I just thought I'd give you kind of an overview of what I do, because we didn't do that this morning, and these are questions that I've been asked. We have been involved in church planting and discipleship in all of these years of our ministry. We've been married for 35 years, and out of those 35, only 9 of them did we spend here in the States. And we have 3 children. Our oldest son is 32, and he's married and lives in Tocoa, and has 2 little baby boys, 2 little boys that are darling, and that means I'm a grandma. And so, therefore, we live in Tocoa. If anyone wonders why we're not in Western PA, because this is where we come from. Our kids are there, so that's where we are. We have another son who lives in Seattle, Washington. He's 30, and he's married, and he has a little girl. I haven't seen them yet, and I'm really dying to do that. So that's one of the things that we plan to do while we're home here for 6 months. Our daughter, Lisa, some of you remember that name. She's 21, and she is at home at our home right now in Georgia. So that's another reason why we're there. We have 2 kids that live in Georgia and 1 in Washington State, so it's kind of hard to live in 2 places. Lisa started out at Tocoa Falls when we were home last time. She lived with us and went to Tocoa Falls College, and she wasn't sure that's what she wanted to do. But then she was really sure she wanted to go into nursing, and then she did 1 year of nursing, and then she wasn't really sure that that's what she wanted to do. So right now she's at home, and she's working in a bank. She's a teller in a bank, and she's trying to find out what God really wants her to do with her life. I guess one of the hardest things for us as missionaries is to be away from our kids. You know, you think it's nice to have your family nearby, but, you know you're going to leave your mother and your dad, and you're going to live somewhere else. But when you're away from your kids, it really is difficult. And a couple years ago, Lisa went to Columbia at Christmas time, and she purposely got bumped in Miami because they had overbooked the flight, and they gave her a voucher for $800. Well, she waited till the tally went up because she figured with $800 she'd be able to go back the next Christmas and use that voucher to come home again. Well, in the time that passed, they'd raised the prices of the tickets, and if she would have used her voucher, it would have cost her about $1,600 to go to Columbia, and she didn't have it. And you people here at the Norwin Alliance Church sent her to Columbia, and I thank you for that. That was very special, and we want you to know from the bottom of our hearts that we thank you for your giving to us. That was a memory that we will not forget. We don't always get to spend Christmases with our children, and that was very special. Thank you for your giving, and thank you so much for your prayers. And thank you for the privilege of being here this morning.
Good morning, mi buenos dias. I give you my greetings from my family, but also a greetings from the Colombian people who really appreciate you giving and praying and going and sending people like us to Colombia. They all say saludos or greetings, and they appreciate you and your faithfulness to support us missionaries for how many years? 26 years? We don't know how you've been so faithful to do that for us, and the Lord has been good. The Lord has been good, and we thank you and thank the Lord for helping us. Well, my wife just introduced us, and I need to say a little bit about her. Don't you think it's correct that I should say something about my wife? It was back in 1966, and I had graduated from high school and preparing to go to Coal Falls because I wanted to be a missionary. So there we were, four guys in this car just outside of Pittsburgh, and we're gathering together, all of us, all of our things, and Naomi gets the middle of the back seat, and us four guys going to Coal Falls got the windows. Well, she happens to get very car sick on trips, and when there is no air especially, it's worse. So there she was in the back seat of the car, quite nauseated, and she took a Dramamine, and she wanted to protect us from her being sick, so she was very sleepy. And she had to pick, which one of these guys am I going to ask to lay my head on her shoulder, because I really can't stand it just flopping back and forth here. So she looked at me and said, "May I put my head on your shoulder?" And I said, "Yes, you may." And my heart started, ah. It's been 39 years, and the Lord has been good to us to give us love for Him and for each other and for a people across the ocean in Colombia, South America. We love you. It's all about love. It's all about real sacrifice. It's all about life. It's all about what matters, that we're here forever and ever. It's not just for a moment. We're talking about eternal differences in our love for each other. We need you. We need you in this ministry. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to talk about recognizing the fact that we're all dying without hope if we don't have Christ. And then we should take the advantage of the moment, the opportunity that God gives us to seek life. And the third point I'm going to give will be about offering life to others. Learning to be a missionary is not easy. I had to learn how to kiss the ladies in Colombia. I did not like kissing ladies. It made me a little bit sick in my stomach. You kids, when you go to school and you have to take a test, you know what it's like. Your stomach gets a little upset maybe because you're afraid. Well, there in Colombia, learning to kiss the ladies wasn't easy. You put your cheek to the cheek of the lady and you go, you make that sound not too loud, and you greet them. That's only the ladies you know. Now, ladies kiss ladies, and men kiss women, and women kiss men, and that's how it goes. And so I was learning the ropes, and it was my turn to receive the people in the doorway, and you only kiss the ladies you knew. And so it was that the first people who came were the people I knew. First lady came in, and I'm praying, "Lord, you know how this is with me. You know I really don't like this. You know, to me, it makes me sick. But I believe that there is scripture that says, and greet the brethren with a holy kiss. I believe that that is correct. And so, Lord, I want these kisses not to be lustful. I don't want to have any impure thoughts. Anything that would disrupt my communion, my relationship with you, and my relationship with these people. Let nothing at all hinder. Nothing, oh God, make it pure." And so it was that I prayed. And the first lady came in. I knew her. I had to bend down and kiss her. And I put my cheek against hers. And my stomach flipped. And I said, "Oh God, it's going to be a long night." The next lady came in. And I knew her. I kissed her. I bent down. And my stomach only did half of a flip. And I said, "Lord, I believe you're working. Praise you." And a line of ladies came in, about 10 of them, and I knew every one. I had to kiss. And I began to kiss like a machine. Kiss, 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 kiss. And a man came in, and I kissed him too. No, no, wrong thing, wrong thing. You just don't do that in Colombia. The guy's eyes got huge. He was afraid. "Pastor, oh, Walter, I didn't mean to do that." "Oh, you didn't mean to do that. Good," he said. And so it is we learn to live in another culture, little by little. It's embarrassing sometimes. It gets embarrassing. And, you know, when I see Walter now, we talk about the first time we kissed. Oh, yeah, some things are funny. It wasn't funny back then. I was so embarrassed. God is good to us. He gives us love for Him. And it's not that we're anything great. It's that He's the great one. He loves us just the way we are. And our story today that we read from the Scriptures talks about four lepers. And they're in a bad situation. They're starving to death. And the whole city of Samaria is starving to death. And if you'll read the passage just before what we read on the screen, it talks about two ladies that have a fight. One speaks to the king. King, what are you going to do about it? Yesterday, my neighbor lady and I, we ate my son. They're starving to death. And they decided they're going to be cannibals and eat their own children. And the next day, the lady said, next day, tomorrow, today, we'll eat my son. But she hid him. And so she was complaining to the king, I don't have anything to eat today. And the king was furious. He was going to cut off Elijah's head. Or Elisha, I should say. And so in the story, we read, it's a very tense situation. The enemy is surrounding the city of Samaria. And there's no food going in, and the people are dying. We live in a world where people are dying. Now, I'm not speaking necessarily and mainly of food, physical food. I'm speaking of not knowing the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Not knowing true life, eternal life, abundant life. Not knowing what it's like to truly live. And most people that we know in this world are not going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And we need to be sobered. I need to be sobered. I need to be awakened to life, to a passion for living that counts, that makes a difference, not in just my life, but in the life of other people. So these four lepers are there trying to make a decision. What should we do? If we go into the city, we're going to die. If we stay here at the gate, we're going to die. What about let's go surrender to the enemy? Maybe they'll spare us. Maybe we will live. Maybe. Maybe we'll die. But that was the opportunity for life that they found. They had discussed it and they made the decision and they went. And what did they find? They found an empty camp. Food, drink, gold, silver, clothes, all that they wanted, donkeys and horses. My goodness, they were so excited. They were eating. They were having a feast. They were having a party. Boy, I had a lovely party last night at my niece's wedding. We ate very well, did we not? And there they were celebrating. And then they got a little bit fearful. Why do I say they got fearful? Remember Adam and Eve? They hid from God, and God asked them, why did you hide? We were afraid. Hiding many times is the reason because we're afraid. Those four lepers were afraid. They didn't know how long they had to live. We don't know exactly what they're afraid of. Somebody else would come and take their food away. That they would be cast to the side. You lepers are despised. You're rejected. You're dying. Why should you have food? We're going to get it for ourselves. Anyway, they hid. They hid what they got. And then they said to each other, we're not doing right. We have good news. We should share this good news. We're not doing right. Now, in the middle of abundance, you can make bad decisions. In the middle of starvation, you can make bad decisions like eating your own children. In the middle of abundance, we forget about others. I have. And these four guys said, we're not doing right. We need to recognize that our lives are limited. We are mortal men. We will not live on this earth forever. We need to recognize that. And we need to do something about it. We need to make a decision. They made a decision to surrender to the enemy. Now, before we invited Jesus Christ to become our Savior, did you realize that we were God's enemy? It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. He understands our need. He understands where we are, and He wants to reach out to us wherever we are. And the best thing we can do is surrender to God. That's the best thing in the life of any human being that you can do. Surrender to God. That's the only option of life that you have. A real, eternal, abundant, peace, life. Freedom, joy, love, true love. It's the only option that you and I have. And we need to give that option to others. And so these four guys, they get up and they go back to the city. And they say, there's food out there, guys. There's all that you want. There's enough for everybody. Were they believed? No. When we tell people about Jesus, many times people don't believe. Many times people don't really care. They manipulate that. And like the enemy said, oh, the Israelites have hired the Egyptians. They have hired the Hittites. And here we are because of that situation. They didn't reason that it was God Almighty who had sent the noise, who had sent the power to powerfully spread that enemy out over the land and get rid of them and give life to the people of Israel. God has provided. He wants to give life. Some of the people in Colombia who have learned how to receive life, though they were dying, though they were without hope, are like Juan Carlos Saracino. Juan Carlos is a major in the Air Force of Colombia. In his young years, like some of the young people here, he said, I believe that the Bible is one of the best books in the world. I'm going to read it. I'm going to get to know it. And so it was, as a young person, he read the Bible every day. He got to know the author by faith. Nobody told him. One of the greatest books in the world, the bestseller, I think I'm going to read it. And on his own, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. Then he became a major, and in a helicopter crash, the helicopter burst into flames. The fuel was spilled all over his body, and he was burning to death. And in that moment of burning to death, engulfed in flames, Juan Carlos said, I have peace with God. If you were burning this instant, would you be able to say, I have peace with God? He did. And I believe him. I've seen in that man a gentleness, a humbleness. His face is scarred. His arm was left nearly paralyzed and useless. But he's brought it back through exercises. His leg. They said he was dead numbers of times. But God reserved his life. Reserved his life so he could talk about Jesus. He remembers that when he was in flames, he tried to put himself out, throwing himself on the ground. And he couldn't. He just had too much of that petroleum, that fuel on his body. And then he saw a farmer. Come and put me out, he said. Come and put me out. The farmer came and gave his life and put out that fire. His hands were terribly burnt as well, that farmer. But God spared them both. God spared them both. God wants to use you to spare other people's lives. God wants you to give them life. He can use you. You know, sometimes we think we're like those four lepers. Rejected, despised, weak, dying, sick, alone. We don't even understand ourselves. And we feel like there's no use even living sometimes. But God wants to use you. God wants to use me. And there's none of us that He cannot use. Some of the other people that I have in my mind when I think of people being rescued from death in Colombia is Patricia Silva. Patricia was not happy in her marriage. She was having a very difficult time. And so she came and heard about the counseling that we were offering and the Bible teaching. And she invited Jesus Christ into her life so that He would renew their marriage. He would empower her to be a better wife. And so it was that her marriage was bettered. She took Bible classes and she was baptized. One of the first. She was the only person that day that we dipped in the swimming pool in the rented house there in Cali, Colombia. And she was so grateful that the Lord had spared her life, spared her from death and destruction. She owns a fleet of ambulances. And I ask you to pray for her. Pray for Juan Carlos and Saracino and his family as well. She needs the Lord's strength because she can't do the work with her ambulances because there are new companies coming into existence. She was one of the first. And now she's got an old fleet of ambulances. And everybody is calling on the newer ambulance services because they're faster, because they're in better shape maybe. Well, pray for her. After she became a Christian, a few months later, her husband, Carlos, a medical doctor, was kidnapped. This is very common in Colombia. He was kidnapped and held for 3 weeks. We prayed, oh God, please set him free. You know his needs. You know how weak he is. He has some sicknesses. Touch him. Help him. Set him free. And the Lord answered our prayer. In times past, people were not just kidnapped, they were often killed. And still, they required a ransom for their lives. God was at work in Patricia's life and prepared her for that agony of being separated from her husband. The children were agonizing as well. Today, they still need the Lord in that family. Pray for the salvation of Carlos and the two children of Patricia Silva. One other young man that comes to my mind is Jorge. Jorge was in a gang, and they were fighting in the city of 2.5 million people in Cali. And in this gang, he participated in killing others. Very dangerous situation. But God talked to him through a friend. He got through to his heart. There is something better. There is life. You don't have to live in fear of your life. You can live in peace and gentleness and passion for life in Jesus Christ. And so it was that he became a Christian. He came into my Bible study. We studied the mind of Christ. And I had four guys. And we talked about the passion of controlling your thoughts, of letting Jesus control us and live through us and talk through us and be all that he wants us to be. And Jorge, during that class, one night, came to me. They have found out where I am. The other gang has found out where I am. And they've promised to kill me. And so it is that he got that word, and he took off, and he left the city of Cali, and I haven't seen him since. But he said, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me that the Lord would use me to be a minister of the gospel. And he was a leader in the youth group. Leader in the church. Jorge, I don't know where he's at today, but I believe he is serving God. One last couple comes to mind. In the midst of death, in the midst of recognizing their limitations, Herman and Patty. They were just living together. And Herman had his business of selling cars. Somebody was mad at him and threw a grenade at him. His leg was blown off. Herman today has a false leg. He plays tennis. He works out in the gym. He does anything that anybody else will do. But today, because recognizing his limitations, he said, I need to seek for God. Life is short. life has no purpose unless God gives us purpose. So it was that Germán came and found us and studied the Word of God and loves the Word of God. He and his wife are both in love with each other and with God, now married, now baptized. And they have a baby that they were told a few years ago, you could never have a child. Now they have one. God has answered their prayers. And bringing life out of misery, out of loneliness, out of fear, we don't have to live in that fear. God is good to us. God is good to you. And because he's so good to us, those four lepers are examples to us. When we receive good from God, good news, should we keep it to ourselves? No. When we receive from God, we should give everything we are because he is worthy of our lives. Why am I a missionary? God is God. That's the best reason I can give. I belong to him and he belongs to me. He's my friend. I'd do anything for my friend. I'd like you to do anything at all for him as well. I'd like for you to be passionately in love with him as I see my Colombian brethren. They're teaching me how to love God. And I've seen missionaries like Beverly Dawn Rader from this district of Western Pennsylvania serve 37 years in Colombia. Just now, she's getting ready to retire, and she'll be on tour in this district. We thank the Lord for her example. Beverly Boone, former president of Nyack College, was her father, Harold Boone. Beverly is a super missionary. Today, she needs some health, has health problems, thyroid problems. She needs strength, and she was afraid that our leaving Colombia would be too much for her. Pray for her. But she's given over 38 years of her life to serve God. Lorene Thomas, also from this district, a pastor's daughter, given her life over 30 years in Colombia. I believe people are worth our lives. Your family is worth your life. Your neighbor is worth your life. That they would know Jesus Christ. If they would see Jesus in you, to pray for them, to give to them of your time, of your abilities, of your talents, even of finances, even the neighbors of Colombia. And the Lord God wants to use you, your children. You may say these are weak children, innocent. They can't do much of anything. In God's hands, he can do anything he wants. Through our children, through our young people, through our lives, through our passion of love for him. And I beg of you, please continue to give faithfully to the Lord, your God, your own life. All that you are and all that you hope to be. Put your trust in him. He says, I promise that I will bless you. I will pour out from heaven more than you can receive. The day is coming in heaven when we will receive all that he has promised through Jesus Christ. We won't see it all here on earth. But the day is coming. He promised, and he fulfills his promises. We read in the scriptures. When God says something, he comes through. And he says, I will make sure that this gospel is preached through the whole world, and then the end will come. Talking about the end. And then the end will come, after it's preached in the whole world. I like this story very much. I like it because it speaks to me. And it tells me, Doug, don't look at people. Don't look at things. Look to God. Doug, too many times you've looked around, and you've seen things on the earth, and you've seen things from an earthly point of view, perspective that is limited. I have complete knowledge. Trust me. Believe me. Believe me to use you. My wife and I are both from Western Pennsylvania. I'm from Aliquippa. She's from McDonald, Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh. We're nobody special. God is a special one. He is the one that's with you 24 hours a day. He is the one that understands you. Nobody else does. You don't even understand yourself. He's the only one. He's the only one that really cares about you. And it cares to bless you and bless a world through you. Pray for us. As you pray for us, I know God will honor that and honor you. And as you give of your finances, God will honor and bless you. And as you give of your children, God will bless. I'm not talking at all about cannibalism, to give our children in that sense. No. Give our lives to God, living sacrifices, not dead sacrifices. We still have a personality. We still have a choice. And I still have the choice to go back to Colombia. I still have the choice whether or not I will love God with all of my heart, soul, strength, and mind at this moment. I can be a hypocrite if I want. I have a choice. Those four lepers had a choice. They made the choice that was right. They found life. God provided life in a circumstance that was unique, but it was from God. Every circumstance here is unique. But God is in your life. According to your faith, He will come in more and more. You need to let Him. You need to say, Lord, work through me. Bless this world that is dying without you. Bless this world. I think of Colombians who are also missionaries now. We have one young man in our church who is going out to the Indians. I can't go to the Indians of Colombia out in the jungles because the rebels have promised to kill us if we leave and go out in these jungle areas. We can't travel across the country because we could be kidnapped. I can't travel the distance from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh in Colombia because of the possibility of being kidnapped. But I can stay there in Cali, and I can encourage Colombians to evangelize their own country. And they are doing that more and more. And what he does, he goes to these Indians. They barely have any clothes on. They don't know how to live, and they're starving physically. They don't have much food. And he's teaching them to fish. He's teaching them to grow rabbits, to raise rabbits, and to farm. These Indians learned to eat just roots for years and years. But because of the floods, the roots are becoming spoiled. And they're not living well, and they're malnourished. God is using him. And he is seeing people put their faith in Jesus Christ. There is another couple, Colombian couple, that said, Jesus means everything to us, and so we want to give our lives. And they have left Colombia. They've gone to North Africa. And they are missionaries in North Africa. We will give our lives to the people of North Africa. When you have the best truth in the world, the greatest, the only truth, we are not doing right if we keep it to ourselves. We are doing wrong. And so we have Colombians who are teaching us to give too. And may the Lord help me to learn to give more unselfishly. And as I finish this morning, let me tell of one last story. The man's name was Alejandro. I went to meet him in his apartment, the high-class penthouse in Cali, Colombia. He was in a wheelchair. I couldn't shake his hand because he was paralyzed from the neck down. Alejandro told me, I want to commit suicide. I hate living. I hate everything. They feed me this junky food. I want to walk. I want to be with my son. I know my wife's going to leave me. There's no purpose to living. I hate everybody. I hate everything. And he was just a dreadful person to be around. I hugged him and I told him my story, how Jesus had changed me. And I believe that Jesus could change you. And so he listened. And I said, I'm coming back tomorrow. And for about 30 days, about a whole month, I went back to his house on a regular basis. And I talked to him about Jesus, and he listened. The last day I said to him, you know, you've listened now patiently for a whole month. I believe it's time that you make a decision. Do you want life in Jesus? Do you want peace and forgiveness? Do you want God to take away your suicidal tendency? Do you constantly complaining about, I can't walk, I can't walk, I can't walk? He went to Cuba to the doctors, to witches. He'd been to the United States for doctors. He had gone throughout the Americas to find health, to be able to walk, but he could not. And he said, God, I want to walk. But most of all, I want you to come into my life. And he prayed. Then my wife and I had the privilege to lead him and his wife in Bible studies, and he became a good disciple. Little by little, we saw changes in him. And he became, instead of that negative, frowning, depressed, angry man, he became a man of joy. And he nodded his head when my wife was playing the guitar. Nothing can separate me. With a smile beaming on his face, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Not death, not starvation, not anything can separate me from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. And the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that is. And he was filled with that passion and joy for God. My wife and I spent about a year with him and his wife, discipling him on a regular basis, twice a week. And then he said to me one day, I need to talk to you. And so we got together and we listened to his story. You know what I told you? My name is not Alejandro. My name is Javier. You know what I did? I was a paid assassin. I've killed over 50 people. When he told me that, a shiver went up and down my spine. You mean I've been hugging on this man for this year, and I did not know that he could have killed me or could have asked for me to be killed? But I listened. You see the scar on my face? He said. They had come after me. They tried to kill me. They shot a bullet into my face, and it went up through my spine and severed my spinal cord. That's why I'm paralyzed from my waist down. You see this scar on my throat? They came into my house when I was in my wheelchair, and they slit my throat, and they expected me to bleed to death. But my wife found me in time, and I'm still living. I can't tell you, he said, the number of times that they have tried to kill me. But God has spared me. You know why? So that I would know you and that I would know Jesus Christ. So that he would have life. Abundant life. Joyful life. Secure life in Jesus Christ. Yes, Alejandro is a man who has changed. Because of your praying, your giving, you're allowing people like me from your churches of Western Pennsylvania to go. Now you might say, we here in the Norwin Alliance Church are just a few weak people. We cannot make the difference in our world. And I tell you, it's contrary. God wants to use you. Believe it. God wants to bless you and bless a world through you. Nobody is too cast away, too sick, too much starving, too depressed. Whatever your situation, too many heavy financial burdens, God wants to use you, wants to bless and use you and make a blessing to a world. So first of all, recognize that we are mortal. We are dying without Christ. We need to find life in Christ. And third, the world needs Christ. And we are the ones to offer them life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God wants to use you. God really wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to know the joy of living, the joy of being a life giver to others. I ask you, would you be please be willing to pray? Pray for your pastor, pray for your church, pray for us. Pray for the people of Colombia as God reminds you. Give financially as God would give you grace to give. You have given sacrificially, you have given often. May God bless you. And God wants to bless you even more. And give your children. Allow them to go. Your young people, pray that God would raise from this church young people to study, to prepare, to go overseas. And let's do that. Now, if you're willing to say, I believe God wants to use me and I'm willing to be used, would you stand to your feet, please? I believe God wants to use me, and I'm willing that He uses me. Would you stand to your feet? Numbers. We see young people and adults. Let's pray. Living God, with all power in heaven and earth, you have heard our cry. We want to have life abundant, life eternal, and we want the world to know that life abundant and life eternal through Jesus Christ. And we thank you, O God, for your patience with us, for your love with us. And we ask that you would use us. Use us, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, to show you our love and our passion. Lord, not all of these will be missionaries, neither will they all be pastors. But you will use them in your own way and your own creative abilities. Oh God, provide opportunities for them to obey you and to be useful. And Lord, others who are still seated, use them as well. And help us not to be like Jonah, who is rebellious. Help us to give of ourselves freely, because you have given us freely. You've received our lives, and we give to you all that we are and all that we hope to be. Bless these people who are standing, and bless this church and this pastor. Make them a blessing in the community here of North Huntington and Irwin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord, for Doug's life and the good message through him today. And continue being with the mission of the Lord here and in Colombia. You know, letting you know these pictures in our church picture directory. You can pick that up and you want to call somebody. Remember, look in front of that directory. Pray for that on a regular basis. We'll be doing that. We pray for Rachel Wilson, you know, in Paraguay. Also, I remember as a younger person thinking, how can I connect with those folks on a regular basis? Through praying, and also on a once-a-month basis. This is what I did, just starting off as a once-a-month basis. I gave something to missions every month. That was the way I started. You know, missions on your envelope there. Check that off. And that goes to the Great Commission Fund, which helps send Doug and Naomi to Colombia so that they could be there. They're going back in 2006. And they're going to be there as long as the Lord has them. And they hope it's 2 to 10 years, whatever the Lord provides. So pray about that. Make a commitment to that. While the message is fresh on your hearts. And you'll be thankful. Participating and getting the news of people who are hurting and need the Lord. Very much. And as you leave today, if you'd like to say a word of encouragement or commitment to Doug or Naomi as you go out the door, please do that. And especially a young person, if you have a question for them, you know. Well, how do you get to be a missionary? Ask them that if that's on your heart. And us not so young ones, maybe the Lord would like to send you on a short-term mission trip somewhere.